Stroboscopic flashes lit up the rows of windows and illuminated the bewildered faces in the cargo section like dancers in a disco. The plane seemed to be right in the midst of a lightning storm, but there was no thunder, only the muted roar of the jet engines. The relative silence heightened the eeriness of the scene. The intercom must have operated on a separate system because Zavala's voice crackled over the speakers. His message was brief and to the point. "We've lost the cockpit instruments." A second later, he relayed a message that was even more terrifying. "Oh, hell, the controls are gone, too." Austin knew that a plane the size of a 747 wouldn't go into an instantaneous dive, but it wasn't built to soar on the updrafts like a glider. Once the aircraft discovered it was on its own, it would lapse into a tumble that would rip its wings off. He put his arm protectively around Carly's shoulders. Something was happening in the cargo area. The electrical display seemed less brilliant. The coal fire playing along the walls and ceiling seemed to be dying down. Dark spots appeared in the shimmer and dampened the ghostly blue light. There was one last brilliant burp of radiance. The interior lights blinked on a second later. Zavala's voice came over the speaker with a welcome announcement. "The instruments and controls are back on," he reported. Austin removed his arm from around Carly's shoulders and went over to check the control panel. He was worried that the surge of static electricity that had put on such a dramatic light display might have burned out the switches. He was relieved to see that everything was in order. Carla had noticed a change in the light coming through the window and went to investigate. She pressed her nose against the plexiglass and called the others over. Austin peered out a window and saw that they were through the overcast. He could see the ocean through the vaporous tatters of low-lying clouds, but what caught his eye was a flickering brilliance from above. Instead of the underside of the cloud cover, he saw an aurora of swirling whites, blues, and purple that formed a luminous canopy. The very heavens seemed on fire. It was as if 100 lightning storms were discharging simultaneous bolts. The plane was slammed like a boxer on the ropes by a series of head-on wind gusts. The cargo space reverberated with loud bangs as the winds hammered the plane as if it were rolling along a road full of deep potholes. Just as it seemed that another pounding would pop every rivet in the plane, the blows became less violent and less frequent. Then they stopped completely. Austin looked out the window and saw the liner below. The ship looked like a toy boat in the ocean. There was no wake, which confirmed what Austin already knew from the turbulence and light show the plane had encountered. The ship was stationary, and the electromagnetic assault had begun. The ship was surrounded by a ring of waves that were moving away from the vessel in an expanding circle. Although it was hard to judge the size of the waves, the fact that their foamy crests were so clearly visible at the altitude the plane was flying meant that the seas were monstrous. Austin got on the intercom and asked the pilot to level out at 10,000 feet and to circle the ship, dropping 1,000 feet with each circuit. He turned to Barrett, who was standing at the control panel, and told him to get ready. The scientist nodded and began to increase the power to the dynamos. An electrical hum like 1,000 beehives filled the plane's interior and rose to a pitch where it drowned out the sound of the jet engines. Carla had joined Barrett at the control panel. Austin stood near the intercom where he could keep in close touch with the cockpit. "How does it look?" Austin asked. Barrett's eyes swept over the control panel and he smiled. "Everything is on track." Austin gave him the thumbs up and called to Zavala. "What's our altitude?"
8,000 feet.
"Good. Bring it down to 5,000 and then make a level pass directly over the ship. Let me know when we're 500 yards from the target."
"Aye, aye, sir."
Seconds later, he said,
500 yards.
Austin called out to Barrett to give it the juice. He hesitated with his hand over the power switch, and for a second Austin thought he hadn't understood. Then Barrett stepped aside and put Carla's hand on the switch.
"This is in honor of your grandfather."
Carla replied with a broad grin and threw the switch. Power flowed into the antenna, where it was converted to powerful pulses of electromagnetic energy.
Austin ordered the pilot to repeat the procedure, coming in at another angle. The 747 wasn't built for strafing runs, and the big plane seemed to take forever as it banked around in a wide turn and started back to lay down another series of charges. Again, Zavala yelled out the 500-yard mark. Again, Carla laid on the power. Another pass, another barrage of electromagnetic pulses flowed into the sea around the ship.
"How long do we need to do this?" Zavala said.
"Until we run out of fuel, and then some," Austin said, with a steely determination in his voice.